Let's read all six verses of Psalm 128. Follow with me, beginning in verse 1. Psalmist says, "Blessed is everyone," that's that universal application, "that feareth the Lord, that walks in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy or blessed shalt thou be, it shall be well with thee. Thy wife," verse 3, "shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel." Now, the author of Psalm 128 is anonymous. We have what we call anonymous psalms, but even though we don't know who the human author is, we know that all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, meaning literally that it's God-breathed and it is profitable. So whether we're in history or poetry or prophecy or we're in didactic literature, it doesn't matter what kind of literature. It's all Scripture and given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But we do know who the psalm is addressed to. So we don't know who wrote the psalm. Could be David, could be King Solomon, but we know who he wrote it to, and we see that in verse 3, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, and thy children, and thy around thy house, thy children as olive branches." And then notice verse 4, "Blessed shall be the man." So it's written to the man of the house. He has a wife, he has children, and he has the blessings of God resting upon his life. Blessed is a wonderful word in spiritual matters that has to do with God's favor on God's people. The word is used, I don't know if you noticed it, four times in six verses. I want to point them out. In verse 1, "Blessed is everyone that fears the Lord, walks in his ways." It's in verse 2, "Happy shalt thou be." It's in verse 4, "Blessed that fears the Lord." In verse 5, "And bless thee out of Zion." So in one form of another, in verse 2, it's translated happy, but it's the same Hebrew word that is translated blessed. And the word blessed is, oh, how happy and to be envied. It has the idea of God's favor and blessing, the idea that God is smiling upon you. Jesus used the word in what's called the Beatitudes. It starts with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." And one commentary writing on those Beatitudes titled the book, "The Applause of Heaven." I love that because that's really what is about. God is clapping for the man that walks in his ways, that fears him. So the happy psalm is actually God's blessing upon this dad or this father. God is both good and God is gracious, so his blessings are also good and gracious. Now, if you're a dad this morning, you're a father, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless your marriage. God wants to bless your children. God wants to bless your labor. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. But there's two things we're going to look at in this psalm, and that is, first of all, the secret of the Lord's blessing, who it is that is blessed. And then secondly, I want to look at the scope of God's blessings. What areas in our life does God want to bless? So Psalm 128 tells us who are blessed. That's the secret. And then how we are blessed. That's the scope. But I want you to notice, I already pointed out in verse 1, blessed is everyone. So I don't want anyone to turn me off right now and say, well, this is a Father's Day sermon. I should have stayed home, but I do get some donuts if I hurry out there after service. I want you to listen to what the Word has to say about this blessed individual, because it's for everyone to listen to. Now, first of all, I want to look at the secret of the Lord's blessing. Secret of the Lord's blessing. It's in verse 1. Go back there with me. The psalmist says, "Blessed, oh how happy is everyone that fears the Lord and walks in his ways." What a great verse. Fears the Lord and walks in his way. I can't think of anything more important for fathers than to be God-fearing and God-obedient to His Word. We fear the Lord and we walk in His way. So the psalm lays down two fundamental responsibilities that rest on fathers or any person who wants to experience the gracious blessings of God. So let's look at one at a time. First of all, we must, men, fear the Lord. You know that the fear of the Lord is the foundation for all of life. Everything that you are will flow from this reverential fear of God. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, let me tell you what it does not mean. It doesn't mean that you cower and that you're afraid that God's going to strike you with lightning, like, God, don't strike me with lightning and don't shoot any lightning bolts at me or kill me or throw me in hell, that we're fearful of God. But what it actually does mean, it means a respect or a reverential awe. It means that you respect God. It means that you have a reverential awe for God. It's an inner attitude that takes God seriously and wants to please and obey Him. Now, I have a quote I want to put on the screen by James Montgomery Boyce. I didn't mention this first service, but if you can get any books by this James Montgomery Boyce, you will be completely and thoroughly blessed. But he said this, God must be taken seriously. He must not be trifled with. He must be, as He actually is, the center of everything we are, think, and aspire to do. He must be our starting point for every project, the strength we seek for every valuable endeavor, the one we earnestly desire to please and honor as our goal. That's a great quote by James Montgomery Boyce. So, dads, is God the center of your life? Is everything you do desiring to please God and to bring joy to the heart of God? That's what it means to respect God. It's not afraid of God. It's afraid that I might disappoint God. When you were younger and living at home and kind of under legal age and maybe a rebellious teenager, maybe you broke your parents' heart. And how that grieved you to grieve your parents. That's what it means to fear the Lord. I love God so much, I don't want to do anything to break their heart. I don't want to do anything to disappoint them. When children sometimes disappoint their parents, it's really difficult for them to see that, and it's a learning process. But sometimes we disappoint our Father in heaven by our attitudes or by our actions or by our words. So the fear of the Lord means I love Him so much, I don't want to disappoint Him. I want to please Him in all that I do, think, say. So very important. Write down these verses, Dad. Psalm 111, verse 10. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's also given that in Proverbs chapter 1. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So to fear God is the foundation. Write down Proverbs 15, verse 16. The fear of the Lord is better than great treasure. I love that. Better than great treasure is to have the fear of the Lord and son. Then Proverbs 14, verse 24, the fear of the Lord is a foundation of life. And then Psalm, verse 2, verse 11, the fear of the Lord brings joy. I thought that was a cool little verse tucked in that Psalm 2, verse 11. The fear of the Lord brings joy not only to the heart of God, but to the heart of the Father who fears the Lord. Now, there are many examples of godly men in the Bible. One of the most classic examples of a man of God is the man Joseph. And from the time Joseph was very young until he was very old, Joseph was a man who feared the Lord and walked in His way. It doesn't mean life was easy. Life was hard. He had a lot of turns and bumps and difficulties. But he had a God-centered life. He had a God-focused life. Years ago when I was preaching through the life of Joseph, I took notice that almost every time in the Bible, in the story of Joseph, when he speaks on the pages of Scripture, he mentions God. Every time he opens his mouth, a reference to God comes out in the context of reverential fear and respect. When he was being tempted by Potiphar's wife, young man, rejected by his own family, and there he is in Egypt, and Mrs. Potiphar tried to tempt and allure Joseph, come lie with me. That's called the subtle approach. Just, Joseph, let's go to bed. What did Joseph do? He said, how can I do this great sin and wickedness against God? That's the first place he looked, was up. He said, no, I'm a man of God. I can't do this. I'm not going to sin against God and commit this great wickedness. See how that centers your life? See that it helps you to be faithful to your wife? What an important quality for a husband, to be devoted to his wife. One of the qualifications for a spiritual leader in the church is that he is the husband of one wife. It means everything's about that one woman in his life. All he sees is that one woman in his life. He's a one-woman man, is the way that literally reads in the Greek. So Joseph was a man pure of heart because he was a man who feared the Lord in his heart and had a reverential respect for him. And God wants us to be men who fear him as well. Kept him pure, kept him pleasing to God, and it will do the same for us as men. But secondly, notice the quality of being blessed is based on us walking, verse 1, in his ways. Take note of that in the psalm. So there's two sound things we need to do. We need to fear the Lord, and we need to walk in his ways. So the fear of the Lord is the attitude that leads to the action of walking in his way. They are progressional. When I fear the Lord, what happens? I walk in his ways. When I don't fear the Lord, I don't walk in his ways. So there's a natural progression there. The fear of the Lord leads to a life of obedience to God's will found in God's word. It means that we have to become men of the book, focusing on God and his word. And I want to ask you guys this morning, as men, as fathers, are you men of the book? Are you men of the word? Do you read God's word? Do you study God's word? Do you center your life upon the word of God? Do you think biblically? Are you walking obediently to the word of God? No greater blessing you can give to your wife or to your children or to your grandchildren to be a man of the book. Amen? My dad has gone home to be with the Lord, but he was a man of the book. Anytime you saw my dad, he always had a Bible nearby, or he was opening the Bible or studying the Bible or reading the Bible. What an example he set of a man who loves God and loved God's word. Write down Psalm 1. It opens with the same word Psalm 128 does, blessed. But it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, does not stand in the way of sinners, does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But that man delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he does what? Meditate. How much? Day and night. Not medicate, meditate. Too many guys are medicating themselves. I'll stop right there. Meditate. By the way, do you know what the word meditate conveys? It's the same concept of a cow chewing its cud. Takes a bite of grass. Boy, that's good. Oh, that's good. That was good grass. I think I want to taste it again. It brings it back up from its stomach and chews it some more. Swallows it. That was really good grass. Brings it back up, chews it some more. That's what it means to meditate. It doesn't mean you empty your mind, sit in the lotus, and contemplate your navel. That's not biblical meditation. It means you fill your mind and your heart with the word of God. Amen? That's what it means to meditate. And would to God that all of our fathers, all of our dads, all of our grandpas were men of the book, men of God's word. Write down James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. Listen to what it says. It says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, or you're deceiving your own selves. For any man be a doer of the hearer of the word, not a doer, then he shall be like a man looking at his face in a natural mirror or glass, and he beholds himself in the mirror, and then he turns and goes his way, and forgets what manner of man he was. But here it is. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and it means to stoop down, bend over to take an intense look, and continues therein in God's word, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer, that man shall be blessed in all of his deeds. There's a blessing to the man who continues in God's word. So feed on God's word and then obediently put it into practice in your life. Dads, take the lead to be an example in the home of reading the Bible, of praying, and fellowshipping. I want to encourage you, dads, take the lead to taking your family to church. Don't send them to church, take them to church. And tell them, as for us and our household, for me and this house, we will serve the Lord. No, this is Sunday. We go to God's house with God's people and worship God and with God's people, and we open God's word. So dads need to be the leaders in going to church and leading by example in fellowship in God's word. So your priorities are God, your marriage, and then your children, and then we're going to see your work or your labor or your ministry, and then the effect that it has upon the nation around us. So the secret of being blessed, guys, is fearing the Lord and walking in obedience to his word. But secondly, I want to look at verses 2-6, the scope of the Lord's blessing. The psalmist puts the Lord's blessing into three categories. If you're taking notes, I want you to write them down. I think they'll appear on the bottom of the screen. But it puts it into three categories. Here's category number one. God will bless you, men, on the job. Look at verse 2. Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Again, happier blessed shalt thou be, and it will be well with thee. So here's a principle, not a promise, but a principle, that if you fear the Lord and you walk in his ways, God will bless your labor. He will bless the fruit of your labor. What a blessing that is. You will eat, notice verse 2, the labor of your hands. So God will prosper your projects. Now, as I mentioned, this is actually a principle. It's not a specific promise. You say, well, what's the difference? Many times in the Psalms and many times in the poetic books, there's principles, or in the Proverbs, there are principles. But they cannot be taken as a specific promise that if you fear the Lord and walk in his ways, nothing will ever bad happen to you. How many want to say amen to that? Joseph was in a pit. Joseph was in the prison. He was God-fearing. He was the most Christ-like man in the Bible. I don't know of anyone in the Bible more like Jesus Christ than Joseph. But he was in a pit. He was rejected. He suffered. He went through a lot. So just because you're saying, well, I read my Bible, I serve the Lord, I take my family to church, but I lost my job. I'm unemployed. I read my Bible and I pray, but we're losing our home. I can't pay my mortgage. Now, I believe that God provides. God will take care of us. But this is no carte blanche promise that you're never going to go through difficulties. You're going to have opportunities to have to trust the Lord and put your faith in the Lord. But it is a general principle that a man who fears God, walks in his ways, will be hardworking, a man of integrity, a man of honesty, a man who wants to provide for his family, and God will bless that man, prosper that man, because he puts the Lord first. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct your paths. The Hebrew phrase there means he will make them straight. I love that. He will give you a direction to go in your life. So you seek first the kingdom of God, and he will add and provide all that is necessary to take care of you and your family. God will bless you. How important that is. He will bless and give you enjoyment in your employment. I love that thought. Enjoyment in your employment. Write down Colossians 3, verse 23. He says, whatsoever you do, do it with all your heart, as unto the Lord and not unto men, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So you're not serving man. When you go to your job, you're serving the Lord, and you should do it as unto the Lord. And it shall be well with thee, verse 2 of our psalm. God will bless you. Now notice God's blessing before we move on. So give God thanks, give God the glory, and stay humble and thankful. Here's the delicate balance of life. You fear the Lord, you walk in His ways, God blesses you. You get promoted, you make more money, you have a nice house, nice car, nice things, a bank account, a little nest egg, God's taking care of you. Get on your knees and give God thanks. Don't you ever begin to think that it was your power, your might, or your wisdom that got you where you are. It's all the grace of God, amen? And if it weren't for the grace of God, you'd be messed up big time. So stay humble, stay dependent upon God. I've noticed that God, in His love for me, has always brought those things that humble me to keep me dependent and trusting and reliant upon Him. Someone put it in a poem and said, I thank God for the bitter things. They've been a friend to grace. They drove me from the path of ease to storm the secret place. I love that. You can actually say, God, thank you for this thorn. Thank you for this affliction. Thank you for the problems, because they drove me to my knees in dependence upon you. So Paul said, when I am weak, then am I strong. But when I think I'm strong, it's my greatest time of weakness. So stay humble, men. Stay dependent. Stay reliant upon God when He blesses you on the job. But here's the second place that God will bless you. It's the heart of the psalm, verse 3 and 4. He'll bless you in your home. I love this. Thy wife shall be like a fruitful vine beside thy house. Everyone needs their wife like a vine beside their house. This is a word picture that says something. I'll come back to it. And thy children like olive plants round about thy table. See the word pictures or the imagery that is used here, the similes, a wife like a vine, your children like olive plants around about the table. Behold, thus, verse 4, shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. By the way, all capital, L-O-R-D, is Jehovah, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, the God who keeps His promises to Israel. So here we have blessed in your labor, blessed in your home. What a great place to experience the blessings of God in your home. Now, in your home, we see that it's interesting that the great blessings and the great need today is for the family. The family is the foundation of society. We're going to see that in the psalm in just a moment. So the psalm mentions two ways that God wants to bless your home: your marriage and your children. Notice verse 3, your marriage. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house. Now, the King James says, by the side of your house. And I used to, for years, kind of wonder, why is a wife outside beside the house? You know, why didn't she? I'd rather have my wife in the house. And I discovered that modern translations, based on the Hebrew, actually render it that way. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in your house. So I think the King James should have rendered that in your house rather than outside your house. But either way, the idea conveyed is that she's like a fruitful vine. Now, in the Bible, the vine with its grapes and its wine that comes from them are symbolic or symbolize refreshment and lavish enjoyment. Write that down. Your marriage will be refreshing and enjoying. Isn't that a cool picture? It'll be blessing. The grapes were not a staple like corn or wheat. It was a blessing to be able to have grapes and make the heart of man glad. And there's an interesting parallel to this in Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 8 and 9, where it talks about your marriage to your wife being like the grapes on the vine and being like an olive tree. So the same concepts are used in the book of Song of Solomon. But what he's saying here in the psalm is that your marriage will be like a harvest celebration, celebrating refreshing and joy. In chapter 18, verse 22, it says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. In Proverbs 31, we all know at verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. All the men say, amen. You know, Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, he said, the wife should live so her husband can't wait to come home to her. And the husband should live so that when he's home, she hates to see him leave. That's a convictor for some of us, right? When your husband comes home, do you go, oh no. Kids, he's home, hide. And then once he's home, do you say, don't you have something else to do? Don't you have somewhere to go? But what a blessing to have a refreshment and an enjoyment in your marriage. I can't wait to get home to my wife. I can't wait to come home and to give her a kiss and a hug and tell her I love her and say, how was your day? And to be able to minister to the children and take over the job of watching the children and changing diapers. Yes, even men of God can change a diaper. Those sanctified hands. I used to think about that. I was turning Bible pages all day. And then I'd come home, my wife, could you change a diaper? These are sanctified hands. These are pastoral fingers. I don't do diapers. But to be able to roll up your sleeves and give a bath or change a diaper or read a Bible story and to be engaged with raising your children, what a blessing that is. So the Christ-centered marriage is a blessing to God and to other members of the household, in that case your wife and to your children. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 tells the husbands, and we won't turn there or study it right now, but make a note of it, guys, that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And it says, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and wash it with the washing of the word. So, guys, love your wife, and the word love there is agape, agape, sacrificially, unconditionally, and undyingly. It's to be an eternal bond. But notice what else is blessed in the home. Your children, verse 3, your children. He says, thy children will be like olive plants round about the table. So the best way to bring blessing to your children is to have a strong marriage. The best way to bless your children is to love your wife, to be devoted to your wife. Kids need to see a dad that loves their mother and supports their mother and treats her tenderly and with respect. Because you're modeling what a man is to be. You're modeling what a husband to be. If you have daughters in your home, and I had 3 daughters, they're looking at their dad to see what a man is to be like. If you have a son, I have 1 son, he's looking at you to see what a husband is to be like. And I pray with all my weaknesses and my mistakes that I have been an example to my children of what it means to love God, to love my wife, and to sacrifice for my family. So important that your children thus will be blessed. Now, first the wife is like a fruitful vine, then your children are like olive plants. Vines and olive plants, as I pointed out, are not food staples like wheat or corn. They are symbolic of the abundant life. Now, olive trees are the slowest tree to produce fruit. You know it takes 7 years, I'm told, for an olive tree. You plant an olive tree, you gotta wait 7 years. So when you have children, sometimes you have to wait to see the fruit. It's like, will we ever get out of diapers? Will we ever get out of this stage? And it seems like it takes forever. But if you're patient and you make the investment, then you'll see later the fruit, as it says in verse 6, your children's children will be the blessed fruit of that commitment. In Psalm 127, I want you to just look back. It's right there in your Bible, Psalm 127. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So you must trust the Lord to build your household. And then look at verse 3 of Psalm 127. Children are a heritage of the Lord, or a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows, verse 4, are in the hand of the mighty man, so are children of thy youth. And here's our same word. Blessed is the man that has the quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall both speak with thine enemies in the gate. So children are a gift from the Lord, verse 3. And blessed, verse 5, or happy, is the man that has the quiver full of them. Did you know that your children are only loaned to you? They're not really yours. God loans them to you, and then he requires that you give an account for the way you took care of them to God. So do your best as a good steward of those children God has entrusted into your care. How important that is. Now notice we must also be blessed by our grandchildren, verse 6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. Chuck Smith once said, if I knew how much fun grandkids were, I would have had them first. Why are grandkids such a blast? Probably because you don't have to live with them sometimes. Praise God, they come over. Praise God, they leave. Just fall on the couch. They're gone and I survived. What a joy. What a blessing. What a blessing is to see your children's children. How important that is. So dads, you're important in the children's lives. Ephesians 4:6 says, don't provoke them to anger or exasperate them. Bring them up, love them, show them affection. Nurture them, discipline them. And you do it all with instruction and the admonition of the Lord. Now there's one last area, a third area in this psalm, verse 5 and 6, that God wants to bless this man who fears the Lord and walks in his ways. Blessing in his labor or job, blessing in his family or home, and blessing in his nation. Notice verse 5 and 6. The Lord shall bless thee. So this is a promise of future blessing out of Zion. And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children. And notice the last statement of verse 6. And peace shall be upon Israel. So this is a promise of future blessing. Notice the Lord shall bless thee, verse 5. Verse 6, thou shalt see thy children's children. Verse 5, thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. And peace, verse 6, shall be upon Israel. A nation is only as strong, listen carefully, as its families. And our families are only as strong as our marriages. And our marriages are only as strong as we have husbands and wives who fear God and walk in his ways. You know, I wish we had political leaders that would believe this. I wish we had civic leaders that believe it. I wish we had everyone in the military believe this. I woke up early this morning thinking about my message, and I remembered a quote from George Washington. He said, it's impossible to govern a nation without God or the Bible. We have a political party in power right now that has purposely, intentionally taken God out of its platform. Have mercy, O God, on this nation. We have a Supreme Court that sanctioned and legalized same-sex marriage. God, have mercy on America. That's the beginning and the end of America. Marriage is a divine institution ordained by God. God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Marriage is God's idea. We can't change it, rearrange it, or redefine it. God made them male and God made them female. And said, for this cause a man shall leave. You can clap if you want. We don't even know how many genders there are anymore. You don't think we're confused? You can't govern God or the nation without the Bible. You can't govern the nation without God or the Bible. He made them male and female, said, for this cause Adam leaves father and mother, cleaves to his wife, the two become one flesh. That's the foundation for marriage. God designed it. So I'm brokenhearted. This is why I'm a bit emotional. I'm brokenhearted for America. My heart is broken for our nation. Sanctity in the home brings the security of our nation. We are only as strong as our families, and our families are only as strong as they are God-fearing and God-honoring in all their ways. So dads, these three things, and I'll close. Number one, fear the Lord, walk in his ways, number two. And number three, glorify him in all that you say and do. Fear the Lord, walk in his ways, and live your lives for the glory of God. Amen.